Welcome to Comadres y Comics.
Comadres y Comics is a podcast hosted by three Latina women.
We highlight the Latinx presence in the comic book industry as creators, characters, and fans.
Join us as we talk chisme, comics, fandom, and beer.
Comadres y Comics, this is episode 213. Oh my God, area code, Los Angeles. yes, that's 213. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Krista.
And I'm Jen.
Welcome back, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
What's up? So we haven't been recording for a while, but we had a lot of back, I was going to say back issues, but a lot of a lot of previous recordings that we were able to maintain a weekly release of an episode. So thank you guys for sticking around. We have just, it's been a week since we were at Modesto, California, which it was the Latinx Comic Arts Festival in Modesto. I'm still having withdrawals. Like, it was the most amazing convention this year. And even was better than last year. It was just so amazing. Like, going there, seeing everybody, all the creators that we have met throughout the years, and Doctora Teresa Rojas, who's been amazing at creating this amazing convention. It's been so cool to just catch up with everybody. It's sort of like going to visit family. Like, it's just really amazing. We eat and drink and we have a good time and we talk about their new projects, and the people that go to the convention are just super nice, super engaging. I learned a lot and I had just really great conversations with just the people that just attended the convention. So that was really, really amazing. What did you like about it, Kristen?
I really appreciated and enjoyed all of the people coming and actually asking about non-superhero books. I really noticed that there were a lot of people this year who were specifically interested in that. And we had quite a few. You know, we definitely have a lot of books that we read that are considered independent. And so we were able to share a lot of those books with them. And we really were able to, I have a brain fart. There's a dog barking outside and I'm like, be quiet, dog. But anyway, provide access to introduce them to creators, comic books and comic book creators that they would not necessarily know otherwise. So I really enjoyed that a lot. And I really agree with you, Sarah, that it seems like the show really has grown over the years. They celebrated their 5th year anniversary. This year, of course, there was a year that it got canceled completely. And then the next year was on, did they do 2 years online?
Yes, I believe
so. I think so.
Yes.
Okay, so 2 years online. So even though it was the 5th anniversary, this is the 3rd time in person. But even so, I really noticed the growth. And I just think it's such a great, great thing that Teresa is offering to the community and to Central California.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that one of the creators that we reviewed, her comic book, Abby Rocha, she gifted us beer because she knows
Shout out.
Yes. So hopefully soon we could do the beer review with that beer. So I'm excited about it. It's a Belgium. So excited.
And another thing.
Wow. She actually listened.
Yes.
Another thing about Abby is she was the creator of Mercy. And that particular book had, by the time we got around to reading and reviewing it, had been out of print for a while. But because of our review and we loved it so much, she actually reprinted it and republished and had it at the show this year. And then she had a collection of other stories that were immigrant related. And she collected those and had that book All based on our review. And so honestly, we're movers and shakers in the Latinx comic community. I have to say, we are making things happen, and we are hopefully motivating creators to continue to put this work out there. And Abby sold out.
Yes, she did.
Of her books. We didn't even get to get the second book. I wanted it. We didn't even get to buy it because she sold. She only, after the first day, she only had four left. And I was like, oh, I don't want to buy three of them to take and her not have anything. So I believe she shared a link with us or something so that we can get a copy. But I really, really was happy to hear that our review really helped get her back into following up with those stories that she had written.
Also, I really love that I finally got to meet Frederick Luis Aldama, Dr. Frederick Luis Aldama, in person, which I thought was super cool. He's really an amazing guy. And he is the one that they named the award that they gave out to the students at this convention. So I was just like so jazzed to meet him in person. That was kind of one of the cool moments. Another cool moment was when Jaime Crespo came up to us and he's like, I love the idea of creating a playlist for my comic book that you guys reviewed, Los Punkers. And I was like, really? Oh my God, that would be excellent. So that
we're making things happen.
So that was cool. Unfortunately, Jen couldn't make it, but hopefully next year we can plan and have just the time of our lives all over again. So I just really had a million thanks for the festival for having us this year again, and hopefully next year as well. I'm so excited. I honestly, I miss Modesto, which is I think a sentence that you don't hear very often. But yeah, it was amazing. It was really, really
I gotta send the date for the LA Marathon to Teresa right away.
Absolutely, absolutely. And maybe this time we could have a hors d'oeuvres at the brewery instead of the hotel. That would be super cool. But yeah. Anyway, that was in a little recap of the Modesto convention, the Latinx Comic Arts Festival. Yes.
And you can actually go online to the website and look at the list of exhibitors that were there and check out their work. And I know that how Sarah mentioned that there were other classes involved and that there was an AV class that was involved that did a video. And that video is going to be put up on the website and on YouTube at some point. I'm sure they have to edit it and put it all together because I know that they were interviewing a lot of people. So make sure that if you are interested to get more information, that you can check them out online. And you just need to go to, I think, Latinx Comic Arts Fest. It's a long name. And I thought I had it here, but because I was looking it up earlier. But we'll share it on our note for this episode. You can also look to see of other past shows, and there are all of the videos of the shows that were done online during the times that they weren't able to be in person that you can also check out as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, and that's another thing that was really amazing this year is that other classes within the college were getting involved in this event, and it was just really awesome. I know, Kristen, you spoke to someone in Latin studies. Was it that they were talking about like how they wanted to highlight comic books that they got at the festival? And then you directed them to some books, and I think you gave them one as well. So I thought that was super cool. Like just engaging the whole college in this event was amazing.
Yes, definitely. Definitely an event that if you can make it, try to. It is such an amazing thing to be able to have in Central California, in Modesto. And even if you don't live there, but you live close enough that the drive isn't too bad, I highly, highly recommend that you go.
All right, guys, now it's time for Chisme de la Semana. Today's chisme, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is that the comadres are going to be at WonderCon this year. We're going to be there doing interviews and having a good time. Hopefully going to Ballast Point at some point.
You know, now Teresa is going to be at Disneyland on Sunday. So I was thinking the same thing, that we should try to meet up with her for lunch.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd be super
great.
We'll see. Yes. But yes, if you see us there, come up to us, say hello, take pictures with us. Tell us how much you hate us, what we need to improve on, or just tell us we're absolutely wonderful and can't get enough of us. So that's our chisme, is that we're going to be at WonderCon. All right, guys, now it's time for On My Radar. Kristen, what is on your radar?
So On My Radar this week is a unique thing, and it's a comic. It's a one-page comic that, we were able to get a copy of at the Latinx Comic Arts Festival. And as Sarah mentioned, there was an award given out, and it was, so there was like an endowment that Professor Frederick Luis Aldama gave money to Modesto Junior College for these awards. And there were three winners. And the main winner, who took first place, was Larry Garcia. And he created a one-page comic. And we only have on hand a black and white copy, but the original apparently was in color. And I think it was, the original was like actual panels, but they put it all together on one page to present for this award. But it was a one-page comic called Birdie. And the interesting thing about this whole comic and how it came into our hands is that Larry, the creator of the comic and the winner of first place of this award, came to our table, and we were just talking, and I thanked him for being so honest about his own personal history. He shared there at as he received the award that he had spent time in prison, and that this was a comic that he wrote actually when he was incarcerated. And so we were talking back and forth, and I hadn't seen the comic yet. And I was telling him that I really appreciated him sharing that, because it was actually something close to my heart, as wanting to bring comics to that community, because I used to work with girls involved in the juvenile justice system and involved with gangs. And so I told him how it's always been this idea of mine of bringing their stories and helping to facilitate them to write their own stories and share it with other kids or adults or girls who are also incarcerated, because a couple of things. It's important for this community to see themselves in media and in a positive light. It's important for their the people who are involved in the justice system tell their stories. And also, comics is well known to be a medium that helps to relay stories in a way that is easy to understand to problem readers. And working with that community, I knew firsthand that a lot of people who are involved in the justice system have a lot of undiagnosed learning disabilities, and a lot of them don't read very well, if at all. And a lot of it is because they have problems in school, and without being able to verbalize that they can't read or they are not very good at it, they get embarrassed, or and they have anger from a lot of other things, and then they just stop coming to school. And so we found that that was an ongoing issue with a lot of the girls that we worked with. And I was just talking about that, and I was telling them how I thought that sharing these stories were so important because of the fact that I also saw firsthand that these girls would come out from being incarcerated, and they would have such insurmountable barriers to overcome because it was hard for them to let go of their past, and not just because they were coming back to the same situation that they were existing in that got them into being locked up, but also society as a whole doesn't let you forget who you are. You have all this baggage. I mean, just the fact that you still have to check that box that says you're a felon when you go to apply for a job, that is society and the community not letting you forget who you used to be. And so we were just talking about that. And so I said, I would really like to read your comic. He's like, I'm going to get you a copy. So he went and he got a copy. He had made some copies to hand out and he handed it to me. And I read it and I was like, oh my gosh, like everything that we were talking about in that conversation was in his freaking comic. And it was like he just took our words and put it in the comic, except for he made this comic months and months ago. And so that really was so touching to me that this man had put so much of his own personal life and what he thought on this page in comic form. And I just thought it was amazing. And like I said, it was called Birdie. And I tried to see if we could share a link to it, but I haven't heard back yet. And if not, I wanted to also see if maybe we could share it with his permission just so that listeners could see it, because it's such an amazing story in just a small little one page, like I think maybe six or five or six panels.
I want to say like six panels.
Yeah. And it's basically just the character who is saying, why do we have such a hard time letting go of our past? And quite honestly, you don't have to be incarcerated to identify with this.
Absolutely.
I mean, I reread it today and I was like, a lot of what was being said on in the comic resonated with me. I was to rereading it today was kind of emotional about it all over again. But you know, it was the character who was saying, why do we let this happen to us? And it's coming from a character who clearly from the comment you can see has been locked up. And so there is just a lot of growth in the comic. And there's an actual bird in the comic who is basically kind of like a wise character trying to say, you know.
Like a Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Trying to say like, well, humans, this is why. And it's just, I don't want to give too much away because it's just so much that you get from reading it yourself and reading the words. And one of the amazing things that was shared with us as well about this comic is that he was in prison when he created this. And so his tools were very limited. He basically just had tiny little nubs of pencils to be able to do the sketches and with the coloring aspect that he had to it was just like things that he kind of just found in his environment where he was. And so it's really speaks to how you can, if you have something in your heart that you want to put on paper, whether it be writing or art or pictures or whatever, like you can do it with the littlest of tools that you
the
can find
minimum.
Or have, the bare minimum. Yeah. So and it was just such an amazing thing to hear him talk about his own creation. And then to know that he won first place, with this particular endowment and to just really see comics be so impactful in this very important way. And again, it's something that's very close to my heart, working with people involved in the justice system. And a lot of the girls that were involved in juvenile justice, I followed with them when they unfortunately transitioned into the adult justice system. And it's just such a hard thing to overcome and to grow from. And I'm really hoping that Larry continues on with this creative endeavor, because I think he could do so much good with this in his community.
Absolutely. I read it as well. And reading it, like, I got all choked up because there's a lot of myself that I see in there, you know. And it was just pretty freaking amazing, actually. I was just so floored by, like, the sheer emotion that you get, the authenticity that is presented in this, like, six-panel comic. I thought that was just really amazing. One of my favorites is Release the Sorrow of the Past and Learn That You Belong. That just hit, you know, it hits. Mm-hmm. It's really just, it's amazing. It definitely deserves first place for sure.
Yeah, and it's just, because when you guys had sent it, I like looked at it and I was just like, oh, like this is like pretty small, but it's very compact as well. It's, it has a lot of dialogue, but even the art for it, it's very, I want to say, good, not, kind of like rustic, I want to say. It's by no means simple. Because it's, you can tell even from just the black and white copies that a lot of thought went into this. And that there's like vague shadows and stuff like that. There, he obviously understands how he wants, to put down his artwork and how it wants to be seen as well. But also just the way that the dialogue is written in as well. I don't know. I was so charmed by it, as well. It, I don't know. I guess it kind of reminded me of like, the hand, like, I don't know how to put it, but like, a very like, kind of like, almost like seeing a father's note or something, or like seeing like, I don't know, like, I want to say like, it doesn't really make sense, but like, a father's handwriting or a brother's handwriting, stuff like
that. Yeah.
I was very, very charmed by it.
And Larry was a little embarrassed to tell me that he was definitely an artist, but that maybe I didn't want to see some of the other stuff that he had made. And he actually, I was like, no, show me. And so he had a picture on his phone where he showed me, and it was a drawing of beautiful women. And of course the boobies were all hanging. It was like, it was like against what you would expect stereotypically for a man who was a straight man who was stuck in prison would be fantasizing about, but it was beautiful. He was honestly, this art here, while I appreciate it and it goes perfectly with the story that's being told, the picture that of what he drew of those women was just like amazing. So he definitely has, skills in art, and I would love to see more of, his, storytelling
through that medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. That's another aspect. So, but I really did enjoy it. It was such a, like, this is what I would imagine when I say, like, I want to look into people's heads and see what they're thinking. Like, this is perfectly it. Like, it's like I caught a glimpse into, like, some, not only someone's thoughts, but into a human collective, like a glimpse into human consciousness and human nature. And I thought it's amazing what he achieved in just six panels.
Yeah.
It really is. And I loved it.
Yeah, definitely. So once we get a hold of a link, or maybe it'll be posted on the website, the Latinx Comic Art website.
I looked specifically for that to see if maybe the winners were up. Because there was another, second or third place, but there was another place. There were three winners. There was one who, Jen, get this, somebody crocheted a prom dress with the Quince storyline as the inspiration.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't wait to
see this. We would love to see that.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Oh my God, guys. It's that time. La hora de la cervecita. I have been waiting because it's Friday.
Friday.
Yeah.
It's cake news.
This is, I've been staring at it since we started, and it has me so intrigued. So it's Imperial Stout, which I see that and I think chocolate, but it clearly says strawberry.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm very interested to see what it tastes like.
Okay. Ooh. The reason I'm smelling mine and the reason that we're doing this is because as I was unpacking the box of goodies that said, I maybe was a little bit too
forceful
with my unpacking and my X-Acto knife and
my poor dear. I'm just spilling it everywhere.
Oh my
God. I opened it and it came out everywhere.
I had the first sip, girls. Wait, my God. So delicious.
Look how dark it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Imagine, it looks like used mortar oil.
It smells so good.
Okay.
It has her little
Shocked that it exploded on you because I opened it and it actually came up and it is just sitting there. But like, I think it expanded in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how to explain it, but it's everywhere.
Oh, my God. What was that one beer that I said? You know what? No, I'm not going to repeat it again, but.
I'm sorry. I don't have a napkin or anything, and Eddie's not here to help me. So I'm just looking at all my hands. They're clean, I think.
All right, girl, I'm not going to say anything, but I'm happy.
No, you know what? I'm pretty sure I've said this before on here without shame, so I'm going to say this shamelessly again. I took a sip of this and my nipples went hard.
Oh my God, that is the perfect. Yes.
Okay, this here, if all stouts tasted like, I have it already now. If all stouts tasted like this, I would love stouts because you know why?
Mm-hmm.
I don't taste any of the coffee. I'm sorry. I know you guys like coffee, but the strawberry is so like, oh my God. And it's thick. It is like thick and like
almost chocolatey too.
Creamy.
Like, yes.
It's creamy. Oh my God.
Okay. So early on, I forgot to take off the price tag. And Kristen was like, this was $11. And I said,
it was $11.99.
Okay.
$12.
$12. But you know what? This is worth $12. Unlike the craft beer I bought at another convention for $10.
Valid. And it's 10.5 ABV. So it's almost like you're drinking. For $12, it's almost like you're getting $4 beers.
Yes. Yes. So this is an Imperial Stout with strawberries, coconut, coffee, milk, and sugar.
Mm. Oh, no. Milk? Am I gonna have milk too for the rest of the night?
Worth it, though. Worth it.
Yeah.
I almost want to chew it because it's just so thick in my mouth.
Can somebody read this? I can't read it. with my glasses. I need a new prescription.
I can read it.
Okay, go ahead.
Wait, where is it?
It's in the part where you messed it up, I think. It says, Cake News is our spoony oatmeal milk stout. 100%. I could eat this with a spoon.
Yes.
It's brewed with strawberry, coconut, and coffee. Enthusiastically crafted at our church brewery on Sturgatan 41 in Sundbyberg, Sweden. Oh, that's also why it's expensive, because it was imported. And you can find out more information at Omnipolis. Oh, it's a long word.
Omnipolis.
Eureka. Yeah. Polo. Okay. So it's omnipolis.com. Where'd you get this one from?
I already feel it. I know, I'm feeling it too. Like, it's, I feel nice. I got this at 310. 310 is open.
Okay.
Once again, they have their new Kobe mural up. Part of it looks like bordado. ¿Cómo se dice bordado in English? Like when you do the stitching and...
Patched?
No, bordado, like you know how...
Embroidery,
thank you.
Okay.
Some of the art, it looks embroidery. It looks really freaking awesome. But anyway, I got this there at 310 in Torrance. If you're in the Torrance South Bay area, definitely check out 310 Liquor Store. They have a bunch of amazing beers.
Given that you found it at 310 and it's from Sweden, I'm sure that if you check out any of your boutique beer, craft beer places, you might be able to find it. And if not, ask for it. Beg for it on your hands and knees, because this is so good.
It really
delicious.
Is.
Oh,
we're making sweet love to this beer, by the way.
We really are. I just, you know, I want to rip the can open and lick the inside.
Mine is ripped open and I wanted to stick my tongue in, but then I was like, one, I could probably cut it. But two, maybe not the imagery that I want on the internet.
I think at least we're getting paid for it.
I was going to say, all of a sudden, we're going to start getting requests. What's your Venmo?
I think we're ready to rate it. This is just, a gift from the gods.
All right, so let me get the handy-dandy rating scale. And we rate all of our beers on a 5-point rating scale, where a 1 out of 5 is very unsatisfied, a 2 out of 5 is just regularly unsatisfied, a 3 out of 5 is neutral, a 4 out of 5 is satisfied, and a 5 out of 5 is very satisfied. And if it is a beer that does not even fit on our scale and it's more than a 5, we give it a Super Saiyan. So I will go ahead and get started. My hands are sticky. The can is stinky. It just bubbled out everywhere.
Wow.
I've taken like 3 or 4 sips. The can is still basically full, and I already am feeling buzzed. I'm not even lying.
Yep.
So for that reason, Super Saiyan.
Oh, absolutely. What do you think, Jen?
I mean, I should have known when it exploded that it was going to be. And like, I could smell it. And then, like, it got a little, like, it exploded. There's still some of this fucking beer on the floor, and I'm highly thinking about licking it off with my tongue. I'm not gonna lie. This is really, really good. And it's already hitting me. So I will say, this is not a beer that you can chug. I'm definitely sipping.
Yeah, sip it.
Sipping, by which I mean taking big gulps at a time.
Side note, we introduced a lot of the Latinx creators that were at the expo in our after parties,
yes,
to stouts and porters, and they started saying, I've been comadred.
Oh yeah. Welcome. She took some great stuff. It was just so good. Yes, and also my husband contributed with 2 cases of multi-pack of Voodoo Ranger. The hub. So yeah, everybody was like super happy.
Hey,
I can't wait to do it next year. It's like pirate ship. Anyway.
But in Modesto.
Yes.
We're going to be on in line for the pirate ship this year. And there's going to be pictures of us. Do not let them stay more than 30 minutes.
No, please don't. What was your rating, Jen?
Super Saiyan as well.
Oh, excellent. I, Sarah, am also going to give it a Super Saiyan. The thing is delicious. We're making sweet love to it. And also, R.I.P. Akira Toriyama. R.I.P. Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball Z. You will be missed. Super talented. You brought Dragon Ball to everywhere. The freaking entire world loves Dragon Ball. And I thank you, sir. Cheers to you, sir. Super Saiyan all the way. Cheers, guys. All right, guys. Now it's time for our book review. What are we reviewing today? I'm feeling so good. Yeah.
So today we are reviewing Saving Chupi, written by Amparo Ortiz and illustrated by Ronnie Garcia. So on the back, I'm just going to read what the synopsis is here in the back. Violeta Rubio only has one goal in mind for her first ever trip to Puerto Rico. Help Abuelita reopen her beloved restaurant, La Casita. The only problem is that Violeta's whole family thinks they can do it without her. Now, Violeta doesn't have anyone to hang out with, and she has nothing to do. But when her best friend duo, Diego and Lorena, need help capturing the rumored chupacabra, Violeta sees her chance to change all that. What she isn't expecting is to run straight into the beast. Only he isn't as monstrous as everyone assumes. Whether or not she can convince her newfound friends of that is another matter. If that isn't hard enough, a new threat lurks around the corner that is dead set on capturing Chupi for their own nefarious means. Will Violeta be able to save Chupi from danger that surrounds them without sacrificing everything else in the process? Sorry.
So go ahead. Go ahead, Jen. No, go ahead.
I love this book.
Me too.
I think by now, if you've been listening to us for a while, or if this is your first time, I love, love, love mythology. I love like mythology, fairy tales, urban myths, urban legends, folk tales, folklore, like just anything that is a story, and that can be been told for ages. And there's like a history behind it and usually tells an insight into culture. I'm all about it. I'm all over it. And this is basically like a really cute modern retelling of the Chupacabra myth, or just like kind of like those folk tales of like los espantos, los espantos. I miss that show, by the way.
Me too.
Yeah, me too.
It was so good. But it always blows my mind when I think about just how interconnected Latin identity can be. Like a lot of the times there is like a lot of us are like there can be a lot of divisions, but there is something there. There is something culturally that I don't know whether it is the Spanish or whether it is the history of conquest or whether it's just a shared identity from being subjugated. I mean, that's what colonization is. But there is something there, and that is so obvious to me in legends like La Chupacabra, La Llorona, El Cucuy, and stuff like that, because I do know that there's not exactly the same, but there's like roughly the same stories in South America too. Most of my knowledge and information and own relatability is with Central America, and specifically like Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, all the way to, I want to say maybe, Nicaragua. Those are the ones that I'm most familiar with. Not so much like Panama and underneath. But there is still something there that is like, cause tell me why I never thought that like Puerto Ricans believed in the chupacabra.
I know, right? That was a surprise to me too. Yeah.
Because like, I don't know, like it's a thing to me that is so ingrained in, I want to say like, not just Mexican culture, but like Central American. But like, what is the Caribbean if not also part of Central America? Yeah. And so, so reading it, I was just like, oh, this is Puerto Rican. And I was just like, they believe in that too. I don't know, like, it's so funny how close and yet so far, like Puerto Rico or like Costa Rica or like Dominican Republic, it's like they are, but they aren't at the same time. So, besides what, like, once I was just like, okay, cool. And like, after I thought about it, I'm just like, oh, you know what? No, they're Latinos. That makes sense. And then I started reading it and it was so, I loved it. Violeta is so me as a kid. I loved her. And I really hope I was half as cute as she was in this book, because I was just like, no, this is like, I don't know. I like to think that I was like this. Who knows? Maybe I was more reserved. I was more quiet. IDK, but I was definitely weird. So,
you know, it's funny that you say that, because there were multiple panels where she's either like rolling her eyes or giving a side eye or like saying something very sarcastically. And I'm like, that's Jen.
Yes. But I really, really did enjoy it. I think this was really, really good. And I love this retelling of it. It's not to saying that kids should run around going and trying to find their version of La Chupacabra, one, because wild animals are dangerous. And two, I'm not saying they're not real, but they also aren't not real. You get me? They're not real, but they're also not real. Like, yeah. Eddie Gay. There is something. I don't know. The world is vast.
Well, I totally loved it. I love, you know what I really loved about this book? That Hurricane Maria became a character within the story. Mm-hmm. And so there was a moment where like the description is like before and after Maria. And I thought it was just like really, really amazingly told. The writing style is really amazing. The dialogue, we got a lot of information on all the characters. There is a point where Violeta is trying to kind of talk with her newfound friends, Lorena and Diego, and they say something towards the effect that you don't know what it's like. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I don't know what it's like. She's like, you don't know what it's like to live through something that changes your whole life. And I got to say, guys, I was reading this book under the tree in my house, drinking some water and just kind of enjoying the day. And that page alone just made me cry, because I'm going through something in my life right now. And so then I just identified with that whole like, companionship, this kind of like bonding with somebody else when they go through something just as tragic or just as mm-hmm. horrific or just as life altering. And I was like, wow, this is amazing writing. I mean, this is just really great. And the art is just breathtaking. It is so dynamic. I love the expressions on their faces. I mean, throughout the whole thing. I mean, it's just really, really amazing. I loved it. I have been to Puerto Rico, and there was this one scene where they were flying kites, and it just reminded me of the kites I saw when I was going to El Castillo de Felipe del Morro And I was like, oh my God, it just like, I did not go to El Yunque, which I regret. That's the forest. But, it just brought back such amazing memories about that beautiful island of Puerto Rico and just, the beauty of everybody. Like one of the things I totally loved was when, La Abuelita was trying to restore her La Casita restaurant and people just kept coming. Can I help you? Can I do anything? I can help out. Like people in the community were doing this and she's like, no, no, I'm fine. We're fine. We can do it ourselves. But that is actually the spirit of Puerto Rico. Like a lot of people were just like, hey, do you, you know, what can I help you with? It was really great. There was a moment when I was in the author studied at Rio Piedras University, which is a town I went to because I went to go see necromancy cosmetics. And I was in this college town and they were doing murals and the muralist invited me to have drinks with them and participate in helping out with the murals. And I was just, that's just the camaraderie of the island. And I could see that in this book. I could see that in all the people that try to help her with painting or cleaning up or trying to restore La Casita because it's their favorite restaurant. And then Los Pastelitos, oh my God, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. Yeah. It's just amazingly told. I love the story.
And they were talking about all the favorite foods that everyone liked. And all they had to do was mention tostones. And I was like, oh my God, it just took me back to when we would eat.
Oh yeah,
it's incredible what like that sense memory does, because that was also when she said tostones, I could remember was eating them at your recording them at your place, Sarah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's also just beautiful because in Puerto Rico they have tostones and they have them in Nicaragua, so it's something that we all have enjoyed. And although we haven't
we love our bananas.
Yeah, we, you know, like you, like you were saying, the chupacabras, you didn't know it was in Puerto Rico, but like tostones also is something that we didn't know was like really like hugely enjoyed in other parts of other Latin American countries. I mean, other Latin countries, but yeah. So just love this story. It was just really amazing. I didn't think I would love it this much. It was so good.
Right.
And the author was actually part of an anthology, Puerto Rico Strong, which all the sales went towards relief for the Hurricane Maria. So, I mean, this is just, it's I think it's something that keeps on giving. And I think this is her first graphic novel for like young adults. So that was really cool. Mm. I totally enjoyed.
Go ahead. One of the things I appreciated about the book is that there was character growth throughout, with a lot of different characters, not just the main character who's Violeta, but her friend group that she discovered while she was there. And, you know, I, as a kid and even now as an adult, have always longed to go somewhere and spend the summer. Like, I don't really have summers anymore because there's no vacation in retail. as a kid, I always would hear, like, you know, you come back from your summer vacations, like, what did you do this summer? And maybe we went to the mountains or, you know, camping or something. But I always envied the students who went somewhere and stayed there for the summer with their aunt, their uncle, their sister, their grandmother, whatever. And so I really kind of like vicariously lived through this story where she got to go, Violeta got to go to spend the summer in Puerto Rico and learn about her culture and about her grandmother, because her grandmother lived there but was forced to move when Hurricane Maria came through, because where she was living was unable to have running water and electricity. And so it was not safe for her to stay there. So she had to come and live in Florida with Violeta and her parents. I really found that I identified with the whole don't ask for help and don't take help thing. I have struggled with that my entire life. I never raised my hand for help when I was in school, whether it be elementary, junior high, high school, or college. I never went to office hours. I never admitted that I did not know what I was doing. And I never admitted that I was not strong enough, smart enough, or whatever enough to do something on my own. There was a big kind of story point around that, and how Violeta then herself actually was frustrated with her grandmother for not accepting help, and then realized she was doing the same thing. So I really appreciated that storyline, and it resonated with me definitely. But the friend group itself had some ups and downs, and the way that they were able to work it out and really recognize that the friendship that they had was so honored and loved that they didn't want to lose it. And the way that they so easily brought Violeta into their friend group and included her in that, the part of Violeta's story as well, was that she, for whatever reason, never had good close friends. And so this was new to her, and it was a friendship that she developed with, Lorena and Diego, but also her friendship with Chupi. And so there was just so many levels going on. Community was a big theme here, and food.
But that's the food. Yes. Honestly, the food. Oh my God. When she showed, like, I know they call it blood sausage, or like they call it
I know. I'm not a fan of blood sausage. My husband always gets blood sausage, but I haven't tasted it.
So in Guatemala, we call it morongo. Oh my God. It's so good. It was like, clean. To this day, I don't know how it's made. I don't want to know how it's made. All I know is that it tastes delicious.
I think you're better off.
Yeah. Once I knew that in English, it was called blood sausage, I was just like, say less. No, yeah. Actually, say less. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know how it's made. All I know is that it tastes delicious. All I know is that the best morongo I've ever had was in Guatemala. At freaking like 6 a.m. fresh from the slaughterhouse.
The best.
The best. It was so, so good. And I always forget how much I like it until I see it being cooked, and then I'm like, I want it. So seeing it here, I was just like, morongo. I want it. I want it so bad. Maybe I'll make some for 4th of July.
I've seen blood sausage in the grocery store, and I never would have thought that I ever wanted to try it or eat it, but it made it sound so appetizing.
Here's the thing. You don't get the white people blood sausage.
I'm assuming, yeah.
Go to a carniceria, whichever like Mexican or Guatemalan, or would just go to a Spanish carniceria. Ask them if they have morongo or morticillo or whatever the Spanish version of blood sausage is for the area that you know. And get that one, because it's going to be better.
Okay.
I actually saw blood sausage at Alpine Village, and I was kind of curious, but now they're closed, and unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I also really loved, like you were saying, Kristen, that the development of more characters, not only just Violeta, the main character.
Yeah.
But I really love the evolution of Lorena's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just really satisfying.
That was a great reveal, by the way.
Yeah. Because
throughout the whole story, like for at least like half the book, we get this build up of Lorena's tío, her uncle, who she's very obviously looks up to. And he's, and it said pretty early in the book too, he's a monster hunter. Violeta, because she's from Florida and she's from the States, like I said, it's kind of a, like, I don't believe it until I see it kind of way of thinking, which I am as well. And so she was just like, I don't believe in it, but they believe in it. So whatever, it's something to do. But when we finally do see the uncle, it is so worth it. Like, yeah, it was a great reveal.
Oh, that's absolutely funny. Yeah.
I really do appreciate, too, that the whole entire story takes place in Puerto Rico, and both of the creators are also from Puerto Rico. And so they both are, I think, still living there as well. And I just think that that adds so much to the story. I mean, we get the pictures of them going into the jungle. We get the pictures of just them going to the slaughter, the butcher place or whatever. And there's just greenery everywhere and just the houses themselves. It's just, I really enjoy the coloring in the book. Yeah. It's so bright. And just it really catches your eye, and especially Chubby. I don't know if it's a him or her, but Chubby, the that color palette on the Chupacabra too is just so. I mean, we see it a little
iguana coated.
Yes,
Oh, sorry. Go on, Christine.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I was just trying to find a picture, but I just really also enjoyed it a lot. And there was just so much in the story. It's not just about saving Chupi. I think a lot of people got saved in this story.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention that Ronnie Garcia, the artist, they are an Eisner award-winning artist. So they won an Eisner. So I'm like, I don't know for what, but that is amazing, right? And it shows, I mean, the expressions, I mainly love it when the dialogue fits the expressions of the drawings on the faces. And it's just really just breathtaking. And like you said, Chupi looks really wonderful. I don't want to ruin anything, but like there's a really wonderful ending for Chupi in the story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're ready to rate it, guys. What do you guys think?
Yeah. So I definitely want to share that we rate books on a rating scale of 1 to 3 conchas, with 3 conchas being the most conchas that Jen's mom ever let her eat at one time. So that was the best. But we have something special individually if we don't think that the book fits on that scale. So to start, I am going to give this book the whole panaderia. It is so good. I really enjoyed it from beginning to end. The storyline, the development of all the characters, also Puerto Rico being a big part of the story as well. I wanted to send it immediately to my nephews to read, because I think they would really enjoy it too. So I give it the whole panaderia.
I am also going to give it the whole panaderia and a cup and a glass of cake news, because it's it's really amazing. It just took me back to the trip I had to Puerto Rico. All the people and how warm they are and how really helpful they are and how nice they are. And the colorful art in it was just amazing. And just a really great story. I read it just at the right time in my life. That goes far beyond just reading a comic book. It goes on to actually affecting my personal life. And I just found it amazing. The art, the story, the characters, the dialogue is amazing. What about you, Jen?
I'm also going to give it the entire panaderia. I loved everything about it. I loved how it was paced. I love how everything was resolved. The pace was really good. It's a great book. I wouldn't say this is more like middle school fiction. Or middle school grade, not exactly YA. It's a little bit It is definitely all ages. But the reading level, I would say, would be around middle school, level, but it's really good. I really enjoy it. So the entire Panderia for me.
And that has been our book review. All right, guys, now it's time for En la Libreria. Jen, what do you have for us today?
So today I have Teotihuacan, a modern-day Mexica graphic novel, volume 1. A graphic novel about a Mexican-American teenager who finds himself bonded with the Mexica god of wind, Quetzalcoatl. So this is being done by Mike Tenango. Mike Tenango is a Southern California-born and bred Latinx writer and filmmaker based in L.A. He's the writer, the writer of Everi webcomic created by Screenshot Labs and co-creator, head writer of the House of Chico animated series produced by Toon Star Studios. He's now venturing into crowdfunding to tell his own stories. An avid comic reader and writer, he's not, when he's not consumed by comics, he's either at his day job at the as the creative director for Me Too Studios, hanging out with his lovely family, or listening to Taylor Swift in traffic. So, the story that they have here on Kickstarter is when a family trip to the ruins of Teotihuacan, aka the City of the Gods, goes wrong, Mexican-American teenager Alejo Garcia finds himself bonded with the Mexica god of wind, Quetzalcoatl. Now the kid who's never felt connected to his ancestry must learn to connect to this ancient spirit or let the world fall victim to mythical monsters. Written by Mike Tenango and illustrated by Andrea Rosales, Teotihuacan is the story of Alejo Garcia, average American teenager just trying to get through high school. Being mixed race comes with its own baggage, and Alejo finds himself struggling to fit into a box and identify with his heritage. When he's accidentally fused with the spirit of the Mexica god of wind, Quetzalcoatl, Quetz for short, what follows is a fantastical superhero origin story that blends world, cultures, and hearts. Think of it like Eddie Brock and Venom learning to work together for the first time to stop otherworldly demogorgons from crossing over and destroying the fabric between dimensions. Oh, and also they can't forget about to call Abuelita for her birthday. It has a picture of Mike and his dad at the Mitla ruins in 2013, and it goes on to state, I wrote this story because growing up, it felt like the one thing I could share with my primos in Mexico was our love of sci-fi, fantasy, and pop culture. We used to speak to each other in Power Rangers quotes that transcended language barriers. So when I learned more about the Aztec Mexica myths and stories, I fell in love. My tías and tíos would take us to all sorts of ancient ruins to explore and learn about our indigenous heritage. Those trips made me feel connected to my roots in a profound way and knew I wanted to write a story about. When I was at home, I lived a pretty typical American suburban life, but I also loved my local panaderia and ate nopales regularly.
Yes.
I never felt I fit into any one particular group, and when I started writing as a teenager, I always gravitated towards telling stories about supernatural protagonists who have one foot in the mythical world and one foot in the real world, because it felt like the best way to describe growing up mixed. Now, my absolute favorite story is ready to be shared with all of you. I really hope you love Alejo and Quetz's journey as they try and navigate their very different worlds. And then they have a sneak peek of the first three pages of the comic, and it looks really, really good.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we have never heard of this person before.
Right? Like, who are you? Why, yeah. Like,
why haven't we heard of you?
We're going to have to check. Yeah. So, who is it for? Anyone who's ever felt like they don't fit into one box or another, especially no sabo Mexican kid. Fans of folklore, mythology, and monsters, Percy Jackson fans to the front. Folks who love characters with symbiotic relationships, Venom, Blue Beetle, Thor, Donald Blake, if you know, you know. Suckers for supernatural coming-of-age stories. So if you watch like Riverdale or Stranger Things or The Teen Wolf, you'll like it. So Mike Tenango is obviously the writer. And then Andrea Rosales is a third-generation Mexican-American comics artist and graphic designer based in Portland, Oregon. She crafts her original Pan Dulce character-themed artwork and sells it in her online store, Good Walrus Goods, at goodwalrusgoods.com, and has had her comics published in the Pub Crawl Anthology from Bad Neighbors Comics, Cuentos, Creatively Queer Press, Mañana Latinx Comics from the 25th Century from Power and Magic Press, Insider Art, by Off Register Press, and in Cthulhu is hard to spell, Volume 3 from Wannabe Press.
Oh, yeah.
Here in their anthology for Ukraine, among other anthology projects and webcomics. In 2022, she was selected as an artist for DC Comics Milestone Initiative Talent Development Program, and recently had her work published in the pages of DC New Talent Showcase, the Milestone Initiative number 1, and in the successfully funded Kickstarter comic Gamer Girl and Vixen Volume 2, Tyrant Lizard Queen. Pride and identity is an important theme in her work. She 100% loves puns. And then Marissa Louise is a colorist living in rural Oregon. She has colored Grumble, Hexwives, Spell on Wheels, and many other comic books. She fills her time with mentorships and community building. You can catch her on her Twitter at Marissa Draws. So, this sounds all super amazing. The artwork looks so good. It already has like the little label of projects we love from Kickstarter, so it's being fully focused on there. But right now, they have a goal of $16,000, which for like a full graphic novel, that's a pretty decent price, or like kind of like a pretty achievable one. Mm-hmm. However, right now they are currently at $5,868 with 73 backers and 20 days to go. You can always make a pledge without expecting a reward. You just want to show us support. But the base pledge does start at $5. And it is the Nilla High School student. It is just basically you'll receive additional concept art of the main characters as well as your name on the thank you shout out page of the book. But then at $15, you get the Angelino tier. And you get a digital version of the book delivered straight to your email or whatever form of like EPUB you want. And then at $25, you get the anthropologist tier, which means you get the physical copy of Volume 1, which at $25, that's about the average price. Anywhere from $20 to $30 is about the average price for a full graphic novel. And this one's a pretty, like, decent price. At $40, you get the special limited edition variant cover of Teotihuacan, with exclusive artwork by a guest artist. And then, let's see, at $50, you get the Mexica Priest tier, which is, you get all the previous tiers, plus the best of both worlds, plus with a bookmark featuring character art. So you get the PDF, the physical copy, and a bookmark. And then, at $100, you can get your likeness drawn into the pages of the book. Yes. And then there is a retail library incentive cover at $100. And then at $150, you can get a character commission of your choice, either digital or hand-drawn, sized 6x9 or 8x11. A drawing of any character or person of your choosing, nothing offensive. And then there's a few more tiers up from there, but those are kind of like the more achievable ones, I guess you could say. It sounds amazing. It looks amazing. It looks, honestly, it is very much of a passion project, because it's, you can tell that there's a lot of passion in this, and it looks so good. I really hope they succeed. And there's always like risks and challenges when supporting a Kickstarter, but it seems like most of this is already done and it's just waiting to get the funding so it can hit the presses hot.
Absolutely. So, sounds amazing.
Yeah. So Teotihuacan, Teotihuacan. On Kickstarter.
Now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
So, Juntos y Fuertes is our segment where we highlight projects by members of marginalized communities. And today we have Lanterns in the Dark, an Afro-Latin LA Inversed. And so This is going to be held at La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, and it's an afternoon with Los Angeles-based poets and spoken word artists performing from their bodies of work and speaking to their experiences as Black Latinx creatives. Performances by and panels with invited guests will be followed by an open mic and conversation networking over light snacks in support of the next generation of Afro-Latin poets. Guest poets include Janice Mill, Lucas Rivera, Sean Hill, Cameron Mouton, Reggie Miles, and it's moderated by Diana Pinacho. So this is going to be held on Saturday, April 6th, from 2 to 4:30. And it's at La Plaza de Cultura y Artes, and that's at 501 North Main Street in downtown Los Angeles. And let's see, any other kind of information that we need? Oh, the most important thing is that it's free and open to the public.
Woo! Nice. Awesome. That sounds amazing. I haven't seen a spoken word in a while. So, and I could probably just go down Main Street all the way north.
Yeah.
And get it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And then there's going to be great food over there because
that's all I heard. That.
Well, thank you for sharing with that. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, guys. Now it's time for saludos. And saludos goes out today, guys, to Stephanie Mendez. Stephanie Mendez, I met her last year at the Latinx Comic Arts Festival, but I saw her again this year. They were there, and she is a mom, wife, and sewist, all handmade crafts and sewn merch. You can DM her if you want to order stuff. But and you could actually follow them on Instagram at sew, that's S as in Sam, E Echo W Whiskey _ Mexican, MEXICAN. That's so Mexican, which I think it's a cute play on words.
So funny name. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. So this year I bought myself some amazing shoelaces. And I know that the audio form, I can't see it because we're showing this on our YouTube as well. But it's the shoelaces that have these amazing, like, Mexican colors, like that you would find at a Mexican quilt, sort of. So yeah. I'm just excited.
I got sarape on your shoelaces.
Sarape on my shoelaces, exactly. I actually went to go purchase new shoes just to put my new shoelaces on there because I was so jazzed and I'm so excited that I got those. And they have a lot of wonderful products. So amazing, super nice. And like the whole family helps out. I think her husband was there and her daughter, and they were helping at the booth. And they have a lot of cool, cute items, including little shoes with the shoelaces and bibs and jackets and shirts. And it was just really cute. So follow them on Instagram, check out their merchandise, order some stuff because it's super cool. And you'll be the coolest kid on the block with your shoelaces. But yeah, saludos goes out to Stephanie Mendez, the sew_ Mexican. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of this episode. Where can they find us?
As always, you can find us on our website at www.comadresycomics.com, where you'll find links to all of our social media. And don't forget that we have a YouTube channel where you can see us interview creators and have them and listen to them talk all about their amazing projects. But as of most recently, you can watch us as we record our episodes. So if you're just listening to this on a podcast, on a streaming service, check us out on YouTube where you can actually see that I'm wearing a hat because I haven't washed my hair in 3 days.
You can see my messed up
room. You could see my amazing shoelaces. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate you. We appreciate everybody that came and talked to us at the festival this year. It was really amazing. For those of you who plan to say hi to us at WonderCon, we totally welcome that. I can't wait. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for the listeners. Thank you for your feedback. Thanks for everything. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's on Period Network.